Hey guys, welcome to episode 266 with my guest, the quite lovable Arden Rose. This is another case of somebody that I didn't know beforehand that I just got on like a house on fire. Got to stop using that expression. There's just nothing pleasant about that. Boy, some of these... Anyway, listen, I'm going to stop talking about that because I'm already obsessed with the etymology of certain phrases. Mostly, guys, I want to just wish everybody a very wonderful holiday, whether you celebrate Thanksgiving or you're just looking to enjoy a nice break from work. And I am sending you all love from Tucson, and we'll talk to you next time on the podcast.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Is that Mondo?
Is that print Mondo?
You know what? It's an actual reproduction of the kind of original poster that Disneyland made for their... Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Mondo, though. It was a gift.
Oh, it was a gift.
It was a gift. I've had it, like, probably a good 14 years because I had it before I moved here.
Because I'm like, I want to take a picture for my boyfriend because
Please.
We're obsessed with this, like, printing brand called Mondo.
Well, I'll tell you, this same poster... Along with the other retro posters that are original Disney's, like if you go to Disneyland and you're walking through Main Street, on either side you go under the railroad tracks, you go under and there, so you're in this little under tunnel. There's got to be a better, you're
sure.
In a little underpass, the little walking underpass, and on the right and left. Direction, there are posters for, like this for a few different rides. There's one for the Jungle Cruise. There's one for like maybe Mission to Mars. So
I love it.
But yeah, it's like those are just kind of my favorite colors.
They're beautiful colors,
right? Those are just very,
it's a perfect contrast.
Very cheerful.
Yeah.
I guess it's very Scandinavian. I realized that.
Are you a Scandi girl?
I mean, I'm in like genetically, not that I know of at all. It's all just sort of Scottish and French and British sort of bullshit.
You sort of look like a Scandi girl,
though. I'll take it. Like, when I was in Copenhagen, everyone assumed that I could speak Danish.
Yeah, and that wasn't probably happening.
Not at all. No. And then they say, and I've said this before, but like then they open their mouths when they realize you're American and they speak better English than Americans do.
And you're like,
so
you remember how we always thought we were the smartest
in
country?
Every way,
yeah,
you're like,
no.
Okay.
No, everyone else is much smarter than us.
Yeah,
yeah, everyone.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But I do, I'm very attracted to snowy settings, and I don't know if it's because I'm from Arizona, but how do you feel about snow?
Is Arizona super snowy? Is it
north, the northern?
Okay, when it gets above an elevation.
Yeah, and then the desert is not at all, and so it felt always very foreign and like exciting to me.
Two-toned.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
How do you get what
seasons?
So you really get the full experience.
You get the full experience, but like you're lucky if it's really snowy.
Yeah.
Like it really only snows like once.
Like a winter wonderland. It's not
No, every couple of years, though, there'll be like a really bad snowstorm.
Yeah.
And you get like snowed in for 3 weeks, and you're like, we're here. My parents live in like a log cabin out in the woods.
That's kind of wonderful.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Is it is it log cabin in the woods but still very adjacent to a city or big town, or was it sort of very rural all around?
Sort of a duality there, because Little Rock, I don't, have you ever looked around in Arkansas?
No, I haven't, but I actually really would like to, because I love the author Barbara Kingsolver.
Oh, really?
Just to link up our two cities. She's from Arkansas. She now lives in Tucson.
So
but I think she might also
at.
Still have a cabin in Arkansas. So she's written a lot about like the Ozarks and just, you know, the sort of like, she really made it appealing to me because as a younger person, I had no opinion one way or the other.
Oh yeah.
I probably thought it was like hicks.
Yeah. You know,
just not to be a shithead, but
also
people think Arizona is full of hicks. So.
Exactly. I think anywhere that's not a city, everyone just assumes that people are just doing tons of math. And I'm like, yes. I'm like, no, it's true. Like, yes, they are doing
that
math.
That does exist. Yes. We do have a very dangerous drug problem in Tucson because it's semi near Mexico.
Yep. And I mean, same thing in Arkansas, Texas.
things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But everything, you know what? You're doing meth in like a beautiful place, though. It's beautiful, it's all in nature the setting. If you're going to do meth anywhere, do it right. in Arkansas. Right.
Please. I don't know. That's the new, they just adopt that. Like, you know what? We're going to embrace it. That's yeah. our new state motto.
This is what we're doing.
We're just going to own it.
Yep. And it's that's going to be it. Yeah. No, they live, my parents live like outside of Little Rock, which is like the capital of, yeah. of Arkansas. But once again, capital is a very loose term because it is very small.
Yeah.
But you do feel like downtown, you get sort of a city vibe.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a waterfront and there are people that have expensive apartments and stuff. Yeah, you know, it feels like a city. But at the same time, like I was looking at, I was telling you earlier that I live in Venice, but I was looking at property because I want to kind of look into maybe getting a place soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad place to look for property, Venice. Yeah. Very bad place to look for property because you fall in love with a two-bedroom that's $2 million.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, that's not appropriate. Yeah. I feel ashamed of the fact that I'm even looking at a place like that.
Agreed.
Like, I'm sending my dad all these listings and he's like, you know that I could build you a house in Arkansas for $150,000.
The comparison stuff is so frustrating.
I'm sure you feel that too when you like look at how much rent you're paying in or Tucson? How much your home costs.
Oh my gosh. I remember when I was in junior high and I my mom is Mormon and so she had custody of me on Sundays. That was like very important to her, so I had to go to church with her. And I remember someone in that they're the sections of like where you go to church is kind of like where you go to school. It's but they're called wards, as if we needed more of a reason to be a little like insane
a little
asylum-y.
Sketchy about
tough.
It. Yeah.
Okay. But the one of the girls in my ward, her dad was a stockbroker in Tucson, which at the time I was like, now what's a stockbroker?
Okay, yeah.
And she had people up to her house. And I remember like there was this like rustling mutter from the girls that were like, this is $1 million home. Like, who knows how anyone knows this? I guess families just talk.
No, but
like,
I know
this
exactly
home is $1 million.
Yeah.
And I will say, $1 million in that era of Tucson
gets you.
They
a lot.
Live like in the middle of the mountains, like the foothills, the desert foothills, with a tremendous amount of property. And their house was like not what I would spend that money on. It was like
it never
concrete,
is. It never
cold,
is.
Uh-oh. Like American Psycho. Mm-hmm. Like everything felt like I'm afraid to touch anything. It was
right.
all that.
Yeah,
but it was very intimidating and impressive. And it was like, oh, this is like a desert castle. What has happened? And then
it's like
now,
a compound.
Yeah. And then you live in LA and you're like, oh, a condo?
Oh,
$1 million condo?
Wonderful. You're
great.
Sharing
it's
a
what,
wall.
400 square feet? Yeah. Square feet? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good. Well, one bathroom? Two bathrooms?
Totally.
Oh, one and a half.
Wow.
To say that, that's a gift.
That's a get. There's two toilets? Great.
Amazing.
Worth it.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm going through that right
it's
now.
Nuts.
I've got one bathroom right now and it's really struggling
it's
on it.
It's not easy. It's not easy. But you love Venice, yeah.
I do love Venice, and that's the problem. You know?
I think if I had moved out there, I grow roots very quickly, and
that's
so if I had
thing.
Chosen that, I would never want to leave there. I chose like the sort of Silver Lake, Los Feliz area, and now I can't imagine leaving there.
Yep, I think that's what it is. Maybe it's because we're both from smaller areas, but I feel like I grow roots really quickly as well. Like,
yeah,
I feel like maybe it's. I want to say it's adaptability.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm here. I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to be good with it, you know? But
which also means like a resistance to change immediately.
Yes.
It's a weird combination. It's
which
like,
also
wait,
means
if
I won't
I'm,
move.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
How long have you been in Venice?
Well, now I've been there for 3 years.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've really like stomped around those grounds quite a bit. And I really like being there.
Yeah.
It's just, oh man, it's tough.
Yeah.
Also,
do you get taken out of that area a lot and deal with the driving?
I do. I mean,
so
I'm
you
here.
Really want, you,
yeah.
Listen, I know.
Yeah,
you said
I mean,
that. I think it's probably better that it was, is it better that it was a weekend day? Than
oh, for sure.
Okay,
oh, for
good.
Sure. For
good,
sure.
Good.
Yeah. No, traffic won't be bad when I'm going back, which is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of, I mean, I'm auditioning quite a bit too. So, and no auditions are in Venice. Like,
yeah.
One casting.
There's like the rare. Yeah, there's like the rare, like, I guess commercial auditions, I did get dragged out to Santa Monica
Santa Monica, you can get some.
Like Ocean Park, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I felt bad when you said you came from Venice, because I don't really audition for commercials anymore. And I remember when I was, when that call would come through for Santa Monica at like 3 o'clock, my heart would just, like, I would want to cry. I would be
I don't want to go. Yeah. Is this?
I'm supposed to be excited to be getting an audition instead. I feel really sad.
And I'm just going to get stressed out.
How do you like the
character?
Tea?
It's delicious.
Kind of good, right?
Oh, no, I love it. You know what it tastes like? It tastes like traditional Japanese tea. Like, I think this is, you actually have the right tea. Like, I think this is the right one.
Well, once I had it, I don't remember the first time where she's drinking, for those of you at home who are tea connoisseurs, a Genmai Cha tea, which the first time I ever had it, I really was like, what's happening? Why haven't I never, why? like, where has this been all my life?
What is this imitation green tea that I've been having? Like, I have jasmine green tea a lot, and I'm like, so floral.
It's very perfumey.
So floral.
I can't do it.
My boyfriend loves it, though.
People who love it, love it. And I feel the same way about Earl Grey. To me, that's very floral.
Yeah, it's lavender-y.
And people are, exactly. Mm. And people love it. But the thing that I realized about Earl Grey recently is I was forced to drink it because I did want caffeine and I don't drink coffee when I was on set. Mm-hmm. And I sweetened it a little and it immediately tasted so familiar to me, but I couldn't place what it was.
What was it?
I realized that it tastes to me like the leftover milk after you've eaten all of your Fruit Loops.
Oh my God.
And I was like, if I can just think of it that way, maybe I'll love it.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel like a child.
Yeah. Do you put cream in your tea as well?
I did put cream in that because it was
100% Fruit Loops.
It felt like it totally tasted like Fruit Loops to me.
That's amazing.
Isn't that funny?
I love that.
I mean, that's
though.
A very specific milk remnant.
Yeah.
of all cereals, I immediately was like, oh, Fruit Loops.
Yes, obviously.
Like, not Apple Jacks, not Trix. Fruit Loops.
Isn't that funny though that you always have a set drink? Was that your set drink? Anytime you were on set, you were like, that's mine.
Well, the Earl Grey thing, that was something to get through because it was a one timer. So I really had to like go, I'm going to make this good. But I will say that for sure, you know, like an English breakfast is my go to tea on a set. For
go-to.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
But because most of the time, the tea I won't, because the green tea I probably won't like as much.
Right. Right. Right.
Not really. I never have been much of one. Do you drink coffee?
I drink coffee when I'm on set and I have an early call time. I always say I'm never going
to
drink coffee.
I just go to jittery.
Zero
immediately.
To 100
there's
real
no,
quick.
Yeah, there's no yeah. pleasant
buzz.
And even the jittery for me, I feel sleepy and jittery. It
Ooh.
Like goes too far. It's like cold medicine kind of where you're like, oh, I feel amped yet I can't do anything or think
terrible.
Properly. And so I just want to lie down.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I wish I could drink coffee and enjoy it in that way.
That's the thing. I think
and get
a lot
the
of
benefit
get
of it.
I know. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, it feels like you're vibrating, but you're not actually, nothing's benefiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I've gotten better about that. When I first started working on the second season of Mr. Student Body President this summer, which was a 45-day shoot, I was like, I'm not going to start this off with coffee. I was like, that's going to be a slow burn.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know, exactly. I was like, I'm going to be fine. It's going to be great. And then they had, you know, like a catered breakfast every morning that had really great coffee. And I was like, oh God, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
But great then, coffee is so good though. I mean, I do. I love the taste, which I didn't always, but I think it was always, I always would try bad coffee and assumed like, oh, that's what this is.
Starbucks
and then,
isn't. Like literally the standard
it's
all
not
the time.
Good.
It's terrible. My dad.
Why do people drink it?
Because I think it's just because it's quick and people who don't care.
Yeah.
Just want coffee.
And maybe they just put a bunch of stuff in it and it tastes fine.
Sugar,
to them,
or cream, shit. But I drink black coffee quite a bit. Like I'm a plain.
If you're a plain black, you cannot get it from Starbucks. It just tastes like sort of burnt tar.
It's burnt.
Right? Yeah.
All of it's burnt.
Yeah.
I swear my dad is going to start a GoFundMe to like somehow take down the monolith that is
it's
Starbucks.
It's really something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because my boyfriend and I feel the same way, and it really is. And he does, he loves a latte. He was never
a coffee drinker.
Okay. He wasn't. He was all tea all the time.
Mm.
And then I can't remember what I think I did get like an Americano, and I probably put a bunch of cream in it and turned it into a dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And he tasted and he was like, this is really good. And I said, I bet you like lattes because he loves milk.
Oh.
He really drinks a lot of milk.
See, I'm from Arkansas. I get it. Now I've had to go for the alternative, the nut milks, milking all the nuts.
Yeah, I'm all nut milks too.
Yep.
What's your favorite one?
Ooh, okay. So this is going to sound pretentious because I'm going to pick one based on country.
Great.
In the UK.
Yeah.
Oat milk.
Yeah.
They do oat milk.
Someone was just talking about oat milk. They couldn't stop talking about it.
Oh.
I think on the podcast, in fact.
Oh, it's so good. There's this brand called Oatly, if you can find it.
Yeah.
Oat L-Y.
Who, I swear to you, a recent guest said the exact same thing. And I think they said, and I'm sure, I know this is the best part about having a podcast, is that people are like, it was so-and-so, you idiot. It was so recent.
Someone tweets you immediately afterwards. Yeah.
But it was a situation where like they took one sip. Or maybe they said that they didn't even taste it at all, but someone just said oat milk is really good. And they were like, you know what? I'm going to and they just took it home and now they're like,
I
they
just
love
agree.
It.
Yeah, I 100%
I should
agree.
Try Oatly.
It gives you that same sort of like milky texture without any of the offensive like harshness of for some reason, almond milk, I cannot do anymore. Like that was my first, my first love and now I can't.
The one that I love is that is it Khalifa Farms? You know, they're everywhere now. It's very Khalifa ubiquitous. Farms. It's like the sort of vase shaped.
And they have really good almond milk.
They do a toasted coconut combo almond milk.
Toasted coconut combo almond milk?
Real good.
This might be the whitest girl conversation
I don't need, I know.
We've ever had. Let's talk about our toasted nut milk.
It's real good.
Okay.
It doesn't need anything. You know what I mean? It's just really good.
It's just good.
Maybe I'll give you a little sample before you leave. I have some in the fridge right now.
Give me a little shot of that toasted.
I'll give you a shot to knock back and see what you think.
A little nut milk.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
But I need to try Oatly also.
Yeah, Oatly. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm hoping that they have it in the U.S. I've never found it in the U.S.
I think they do because I think, well, maybe. Oh, no. You know what? She said that there was a place that made their own oat milk. So you might have to go. And now I can't remember what it was.
Ooh.
I'm going to have to visit the archives.
See, I'm really into that too. I would be so down for an artisanal oat milk.
And then people are like, well, why don't you make your own cashew / oat / almond milk? I'm like, I can't. You know, that's hard. You see people pounding that stuff and putting it in like a little mesh bag.
Oh, no. If you think I'm getting a nut bag, I'm not doing it. I won't do it. I'm not gonna.
That's it. That's where we draw the line.
Yeah. I got a food processor like a couple months ago because I was like, I'm going to make my own hummus. That was my step into adulthood.
I also keep getting told by people that I should be making my own hummus.
Right. For some reason that is incredibly easy to do. Yeah. But the problem is that I got a food processor that I can't, I'm too weak to open. So every time I want to make something, there's just like, and also my boyfriend is also very skinny armed. I've just got an aesthetic for tall, thin, almost
well, he's British.
British people.
Yeah, that's what we expect.
Uh-huh. Very beautiful, wonderful, and smart guy. But also we both have the same width of arm. Uh-huh. So we're just standing there over this like serrated blade, we're never using this again.
Oh no.
Yep.
There's gotta be a way to loosen it up somehow.
You would think, well, okay, so then I had our really strong friend come over named Marcus. And
he sounds strong.
He is very,
great, that's a very strong name.
Shockingly, yes.
Yeah.
But he came over and he's also like, he was vegan for like 4 or 5 years. So I was like, you must know a food processor.
Yeah.
You must know your way around food processors.
Yeah, good guess.
Yes, but now he's not vegan, so we plied him with Chick-fil-A so that he would come and like open our food processor.
Amazing.
So we ate Chick-fil-A, cool. Like literally two seconds it took him to pop this thing open, and we were like, cool, so want to just come over and make hummus?
So like, there's no, it's like you do it or you don't. There's no process by which it suddenly becomes looser and easier.
No. Because then I tried to put it back on.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even put it back on.
Fuck.
So I just shouldn't be allowed to cook on my own.
I guess not.
Yeah, I think that's just what I've learned.
You know what this reminded me of is that I have a pepper grinder that is this beautiful Danish wood pepper grinder that I bought because I was like, this is very sculptural and beautiful. Mm. I've never been able to figure out how to use it.
Oh, God.
Never been able to figure it out. I don't know. I put the pepper.
Is it like a puzzle box?
I mean, it feels like that. I put the peppercorns where I'm fairly sure they're supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
Then I like twist the thing that seems like it's supposed to twist. There's no engagement. There's no grinding happening.
That's so
unsatisfying.
I have
no idea how it works.
That really frustrates me. Have you tried to get your boyfriend to do it?
I'm trying to remember if I gave up on it before he came into the picture. Maybe else. I think I did set him on. I think I sicked him on it. And he also was like, I don't know.
Maybe that's the key though, is that like it's such an like intricate kind of like a puzzle almost that the pepper that you get out of
the
it
payoff is
nearly
just
magical.
Enormous.
Yeah, it's sort of like Parmesan shavings.
Well,
you know?
That has made me want to really try and dig in again.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm bringing back something.
Yeah, this is really rough.
I'm very emotional. I'm so sorry.
It's still very pretty. I didn't get rid of it. I was like, this is still great to look at.
Oh, no. Don't ever get
rid of
anything.
And then just a sad
Danish
little pepper shaker right next to it. Like, you just sort of reach, you're nodding and reaching, and then you reach right past the pretty one and then hand it.
Yep. Uh-huh.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think that's fine, though.
When you were growing up, as we're joking about the sort of like artisanal milk of it all, did you grow up in a household where any of that was present, or are your parents very just kind of like mine, which is like, yeah, I'll microwave a Stouffer's dinner.
Yep. Nope. Yeah. Well, I would say that South Midwest is sort of the same thing. It's all microwave dinners. Although I think my mom made an effort to be like, I think of Arkansans, my parents were hipster Arkansans for sure. Like, they were the first generation hipster Arkansans.
Nice.
And then led their secondary ones to go off and move to California.
Yeah.
Like they're very conservative people. And they do not believe in the power of nut milks. Although my dad is starting to get into it, which is really cute.
Nice.
Yeah. My dad's like this little, like, if you looked at him, you would think he was some like weird little French dude that lives in Arkansas because he wears these little round glasses and he's bald and he goes to museums and he's like one of those kids.
Yeah. Hipster.
Yeah.
Hipster Arkansan.
He's a hipster Arkansan. His dad was in the symphony, so they're artsy fartsies. And like, I love that about them. But they also have this like very like bacon and milk mentality. Which is like, you know that mentality. It's a very like distinguishable mentality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I wasn't raised to be into it, but I think I was always raised to have an open mind to like other ideas.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have three siblings.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where do you fall among them?
Where do I fall? I fall first.
That was spoken like an only child. No, I like no, don't even like, know how to use the terminology to...
Yeah, you're like on the chart.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I have an older brother who is 6 years older than me. And then I have an older sister who's 4 years older than me. And then I have a younger sister who's 2 years younger than me.
So oh, okay.
Like Malcolm in the middle.
Yeah, yeah,
pretty
yeah.
Pretty much. Like me and my sister Avery kind of split middle.
Okay.
Which was always fun. I feel like growing up, I spent a lot of time with my older brother and less time with my sisters. Or if I did spend time with my sisters, it was the sister that was closer to me in age.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sister, rather than my older sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about your brother? Do you like what kind of stuff would you do together? Were you tomboyish? I'm sorry to even use that term, but
no,
like,
but yeah.
Is that? I mean, sort I am
wearing
drawn
a,
to?
I'm wearing a Power Ranger.
You are
shirt
wearing
right
a Power
now,
Ranger shirt.
So
it's great.
It's totally cool.
Yeah,
I think you can. Say
I absolutely 100% applaud it.
Into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Into
good.
It.
Good. Good. Glad I came to a receptive audience. But
you did.
Yeah. No, he was really into video games and I always loved video games.
Nice. Yeah.
So I would either watch him play or he would like go to bed and I would stay up in his room and he would like let me. He was very
That's pretty
sweet.
Great. Yeah. I was going to say he's not like get out of here.
Yeah.
Sort
leave.
Of like big brother pushing you by the forehead
exactly.
out of his room.
Like noogie noogie.
Yeah.
You know, flick a burger at you.
Right.
Kind of brother. He was never like that. And like, I think my older sister was a little bit more like that. She was kind of like a stay out of my room twerp sort
right,
of
right.
stereotypical sister in that sense.
Yeah.
But like a much more terrifying.
Uh-huh.
yeah, like stay out of my room or like I'll cut off all your hair sort of thing.
Oh, no.
No, she's like amazing now. I love my sister now. But growing up, we were always very like if anyone was going to butt heads in the family, it was
yeah, yeah.
Too. So I would always hang out with my brother because he was one of those guys that just didn't care. He just loved his sisters and he was like a good brother.
That's great.
And like now I'm growing up and I'm like, that's such a rare thing to have.
Yeah.
It's like a good sibling.
Absolutely.
Like any good sibling.
Yeah.
I got three out of them, you know? And so.
Yeah, no, I never wanted siblings because whenever I get, first of all, like your reality is your reality. So I don't think I would love to say I was the kind of imaginative. I was very imaginative, but not in a way where I would look at other family dynamics and think that that was possible for me.
Yeah.
My dynamic was my dynamic. I would imagine all day about like fairies and wolves.
Yes.
But like.
You didn't need siblings.
It never occurred. And then also like 99% of my friends who had siblings, I just watched them fight. The time.
It's like cats and dogs.
Like, oh, no,
it really is. It really is.
Yeah.
I feel like I've talked to a lot of my like only child friends that have said similar things. They're like they either said that when they were really young they wanted a brother or sister and that just waned very quickly. That need for a sibling really waned very quickly. Or they say that it was never even a thing.
Yeah.
It's like I enjoyed just doing my thing.
But now that I'm older and everyone's friends with their siblings, I do feel like a wistfulness. Like, oh, that must be cool.
Yeah. I think there is sort of like a built-in friendship you get when you're older with your siblings.
Yeah.
But even now, I mean, just to give you a little bit of assurance.
Great.
All my siblings live in Arkansas. So even if I wanted to have intimate friendships with them, it's more of like a phone call.
Right, right.
Situation.
And how about that? Is that it, because that's, I'm always interested in, just it's so, like, I make it sound like I have this like interest in a thing that's so unusual, but you know, when I look at people who, stay, for example, in my hometown, like I love going back because it's been so long since I moved from there. I mean, I was 17 was the last time I lived there.
Oh, wow.
I can't, there's no part of me that can really grasp the idea of staying there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not a judgment call at all.
Uh-uh.
It has not, because I love going back there now. And I'm like, God, this is such a special city and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me and my relationship to it, I think I had to not live in it to have that experience with it. And so I'm just, it's so interesting. Like what, and some of my friends, I feel like we were so similar growing up and we're still similar.
But that one,
part of their DNA that was like, I love where I live. Why wouldn't I move?
Mm-hmm.
is just such, it feels like such, I mean, it's such a massive lifestyle difference mm-hmm. that.
Did you always want to move? Were you, when you were younger?
I did. I really think it never occurred to me to stay.
To stay. Yeah.
I just always was going to go. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even like I had a specific destination. You know what I mean?
To go.
I just knew, I just was like, oh, well, that's what people do. They grow up and then they leave where they're from. Like, well, where did you get that idea? That's not necessarily true.
But you know what? I think that's actually an ingrained thing in some people, and some people find home in a different way. Like, I think people like us, probably a bit more like-minded, you find home in a different place and you make it yours, and that's what makes it special.
Yeah.
Whereas some people grow up and they think this is home already inherently, and this is special to me because I grew up here.
Yeah.
Whereas that was never, I mean, obviously when I go back, I see it as my hometown, but it's not like home.
Right,
It's not like the place where I want to be all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I would have found that anywhere. I was the same way. I tried to apply to New York for college and California and everywhere.
Where did you end up going?
I didn't go to college, actually.
Oh, okay. You're like, fuck this.
Yeah, fuck it. I
probably could have stood to do that, to be honest with you. But
you know, whatever. I'm glad I did it now because I think it thrust me into like a financially insecure place that made me want to work.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's good. But I moved out. I was kind of a similar story. I didn't move when I was 17, but I moved when I was 18 out to California.
Yeah.
So same, but different.
Yeah.
And I think I just never looked back because I was like, I'm never going to live in Arkansas again. Like I knew that that was never going to happen again. I think like inherently. And you probably felt the same way about Arizona.
I did. And did your siblings go and then come back, or did they just remained?
You know what? My older brother, who was kind of the person that I was like, disappointed is a weird word, but I kind of just expected him to move out and mm-hmm. do his own thing because we have very similar personalities. Do you do Myers-Briggs personality tests? Have you ever done one of those?
I don't think so, but I'm telling you right now I'm in. I don't know what it is. Tell me everything.
All right.
I got to do it.
I'm
fascinated by any sort of test that determines anything, whether I end up believing it's true or not. I'm very into it.
Yep.
I'll get sorted into a Harry Potter house all day long.
All day long. Yeah. I'll do any of that. I love what Friends character are you?
Yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Myers-Briggs was like it's a personality test.
I mean, this sounds so familiar. I feel that you probably learned about it even in just like Psych 101.
Exactly.
Having gone to college, just kidding.
Oh, were you a psychology major?
Not at all.
Okay, I was wow.
In fact, psychology is very fascinating to me, and the problem was it was like my 8 a.m. Monday class, I never went.
Oh, no.
It was like I would just go to like the let's cram for the test get-togethers and try to, and I think when I have nightmares about tests in school, it's always those
nightmares.
It's that, or it's like any other 8 a.m. class. I just, because it truly was the class where I was like, how few days can I go and still get away with getting
little
a grade
did you
that
know
I don't
that
hate.
You actually, you were acting out your psych learning because you made a Pavlovian effect that anytime you went, you would ignore the class.
Yeah, it really was. It all just stayed very like, it was like stick close to home. Psych 101, nightmares. Yeah. Absolutely. You're totally right. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Myers-Briggs, 100% will probably know once you're telling me what it is. I'll be like, oh yeah.
Yes. So it's like four letters. Like you probably heard people be like, I'm an INFP. I'm an ENTP. Da 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 da.
I'm already less familiar than I thought I was.
It's sort of like it just sorts your personality and it gives you like good and bad qualities of your mm-hmm. personality. And shockingly, I've had my entire family's done it in the past. Like shockingly, this is something that an Arkansan, like not so hippie family, was really into.
Yeah.
But all of them, now that I know like what their personality types are, I feel like I totally get
where
they're coming from. Me and my brother have the exact same personality type.
Okay.
So I was always like, why don't you move out? Why don't you do your own thing?
Yeah.
And I think like I got lucky because I was working when I was really young. I started YouTube when I was 14. So like I was kind of like pushing towards doing stuff in the entertainment world.
To find out that quickly that what's possible and from where is definitely a huge, like that's.
Yeah. And I think I was like, I was also in the right place at the right time. Because at the time YouTube wasn't making money. Like no one was making money. It was like a passion thing or a bored thing or like you didn't have any friends thing.
Yeah.
And, like that, it wasn't cool.
Yeah.
Like that's the one thing.
Yeah.
It's never cool. It's not cool now, but it was never cool. It's definitely not cool now, but it was never cool. And I didn't realize that you could make it into a career until I got a little bit older.
Yeah.
And that's when I kind of started benefiting from it. But I think like that entrepreneurial spirit is very similar to my brother. So he is a pharmacist now, but I think he wants to go live in New York for a little bit.
Nice.
So he's a little bit older and I think it took him a second to like kind of navigate those waters.
Sure, so sure.
I'm crossing my fingers. I'm like, I need another Ricks in the city.
Okay, listen. You know what I mean? Yeah, we got it. All right. Let's listen. This is not about you because now you're telling me about something else that has nothing to do with your childhood or adult presence. What is the test? Like, what is, how does it break down? Like, what are the types of people?
Okay, so it's really fun.
Okay.
Honestly, you should do, like, I should come back and do a podcast episode where we just go through the questions
with
you. Because it's so much fun to do. And okay. It's nothing like, if you had to choose one of your parents to live and one of them to die, which one would you choose? You're not going to, like,
you're not going to hate yourself afterwards.
You're not going to have to give up your firstborn.
Okay.
Which is good. Uh-huh. So, but it's all like, it's all about introversion versus extroversion, the way that you deal with emotions. Mm-hmm. So like to use like an example, mine's an ENTP.
Okay.
Which is extroverted, intuitive, thinking, perceiving.
Okay, okay.
Which means I'm extroverted.
Yep.
I internalize my thoughts before I say them.
Uh-huh.
So like I have to have time to think about things before I talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
I think about things rather than feeling them.
Interesting.
So if I'm watching a movie and I realize that it's sad, I'm thinking this is a sad movie. I'm not feeling sad about
it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And perceiving is sort of the same thing. It's all on the same, it's a very analytical
okay.
market, yeah, yeah. But it means that I can be tough to deal with emotionally because I'm very guarded and like it's very true to my personality. Like my boyfriend can tell you I'm the worst person to have an emotional conversation with. So it's like interesting because then I'm reading this and I think part of it is also when you're reading it, you think you fall into you lump yourself into a chaotic category, but I've taken the
and
test.
And does that, so do you have an expectation of what you are and then you're surprised to find that you're something different?
Something else. Yeah, I've had that before.
I love that shit.
Speaking of puzzles,
it feels like some, it's like adjacent to a crossword puzzle somehow.
It is. It 100% is. But you know, like it's fun because I'm sure you probably have those quirks about your parents that you're like, I don't know why you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or like the people that you're dealing with, you're like, why do you do that? Or like, what's the thing that makes you feel like that's okay to do?
Sure.
Or like, how you're dealing with this, whatever it is.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, Myers-Briggs was one of those tests that, like, when my dad took it, my mom took it, I was like, I know exactly who you are now. Like,
yeah.
I read this, and I'm like, I know exactly who you are.
That's like, great. And I always say, like, I've said this about, I'm sure I've said it on the podcast, but I've said this about, I definitely have, about astrology. Like, even stuff that at my core, in no way do I believe that. And I say this with love because there is a woman who is, I like very much, who I've had on the podcast named Heidi Rose, who is so intuitive and so wonderful and so sensitive. And her way of communicating her ability to do those things and help people is via astrology.
Oh, is she like an astrologist?
She's a full-on astrologist, okay? Here we are in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And there is no part of me, kind of like other religions or, you know, whatever belief system you have that sort of connects you with the universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my belief system.
Yeah.
But I will say that woman's ability to bring up like your own personal qualities and the language through which she communicates those things happens to be astrology. Dude, the woman is dead on. I mean, she just is. She just gets it.
Did she test you when she came on the podcast?
I did.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think they do your chart.
Oh, okay.
They do your chart.
Oh, okay. Like rising sun.
Like rising moon. Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
I don't know.
All of those things. Listen, there's no reason.
No idea.
There's no reason that you need to. This was something that like a couple of other like comedy community women who I would also not have necessarily thought would be into it were like, this woman's wonderful. And we went into this like women's retreat that was,
ooh, that's fun,
kind of astrology based.
Whoa.
But it really is.
Did you mean to? Was it sort of like
I was like, you know what?
Situation?
I'm going to do it. Think this is going to be fun? It was with these like gray women that, you know, that are like so brilliant and they're funny writers and they're, it was at a point at which I was so excited too that the comedy world had like this like fiercely emotional group of women because a lot of comedy can tend to be very snarky.
Oh yeah.
So it was so nice to have that sensitivity there, especially with some of these women who like are very snarky in their careers and can be, and yet also have these like soft underbellies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it really was like, it was a total like new agey sort of a workshop thing, but
was there yoga involved?
There probably was. Was there not? I think there was like optional yoga that I didn't do because I liked being out on a bike. I brought my bike with me and I was like out riding on my mountain.
This is my meditation.
And it totally is. Mm-hmm. But point being, it's the sort of language through which it's like, these are qualities that anyone could have. Mm-hmm. You could have like, I've always said like someone could tell me I'm a classic Pisces and I would be like, I am.
Because
they would find those qualities and pull them out of me.
Uh-huh.
And the same, I think it's similar with Heidi, but for whatever reason, the way she communicates that stuff, you do end up going like, this is something I need to work on. This is absolutely a part of who I am. I recognize it. I feel seen and known by what she's saying. And so there's some part of me, like with the sort of Myers-Briggs thing, where I'm like, I don't know, but like,
but also it's
if
comforting.
Someone says you're a classic, this is like, I can...
You're like, yeah.
I laugh at it and I sort of joke about it. But at the end of the day, for whatever reason, if it's something that helps you figure out who you are, mm-hmm. if it's something that helps you embrace your weaknesses and try to push through them or just accept them about yourself and it makes you a better version of yourself,
yeah.
fucking great.
Yeah.
Do it. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So that's part of it. Like I sort of, especially in the workshop, is like, oh, I'm all in. Like, you're telling me that I'm an Aquarius Sun and I have a Gemini, or I have a Virgo moon and a Leo rising.
Is this all true? Are we figuring out your
chart?
This
is all true.
Oh, yes. I mean, your listeners,
all of it is like, oh, sounds great. Like, okay, yeah. I'm quirky. I do things my own way. Mm-hmm. I'm a very community oriented, like, we're all in this together, sort of democratic, like I may be a leader type, but I don't really want to lead. I just want to be the voice of you guys uh-huh. who da da da. That's all very Aquarian. Then there are so many people listening to this rolling their eyes right now. Like I said, who cares? I'm not saying that I believe it. I'm just saying, like, for whatever reason, it acquainted me with myself in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's anything
it's
wrong with
like,
that.
Okay, it's a you know what I mean. I don't look up at the sky and go, oh, it's because you know Mercury's in
retrograde or whatever.
Yeah, I can't that, but. But it's just interesting. That's all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If someone said, if she was like, you're a Capricorn this uh-huh. with a Virgo that and a Pisces this,
you'd
I'd be like
sold.
Also true. Also
you're
true.
Like,
sounds
sold.
Great.
Let's go get the
How
tattoos.
Can it make me yep. like myself more?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Or accept myself differently.
Totally. Have you found that on set that astrology can be a language?
Oh, like in terms of people just get the way they relate to one another?
Yeah.
Well, see, now you know what I'm talking about.
Like, I just feel like I'm once again, I'm not a believer in astrology. I think it's fascinating. Like I love the idea of it. And I think if you can, like I said, if you can find a path of discovery,
the fact that someone took the time to build all of that
yeah.
legend.
It's beautiful.
Like, oh, this is fairy tale. Like this is,
it's beautiful.
Complicated.
It's like religion.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And
putting
it's like
order
intricate.
To chaos. You can see all uh-huh. the reasoning behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels good to understand why things are happening and
yes.
why people behave the way they do.
Yes. And from the dawn of time, people have been trying to predict the future. And in a way, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Just predicting how you are going to react in the future. But I feel like every time I go on set, that's the first thing I get asked by either a makeup girl or someone running around
right,
set
right.
will be like, so what sign are you?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, Taurus. And they're uh-huh. like, I see. This makes so much sense now. And I'm like, oh, so if I just lied and told you something different, would you see
they
me?
Would go,
so,
I see. They would then, find whatever quality they associate with that particular
yeah.
sign and you and it would make
would
sense to them.
But you know what? But it's weird because like I bonded with my makeup artist on that set because she was also a Taurus. And
yeah.
all she wanted to say was how like that connected us in some way. And I'm like, you know what? If that makes you feel that way and
yeah.
it makes you feel like I love her to death and I would never disregard her intelligence because I
yeah,
think
yeah.
she's a very smart person. And
yeah.
I think like if that's how you feel about it and you feel inherently that that is something that really connects us,
yeah.
then sure, let
yeah.
that be the connector.
Can I be honest with you?
Uh-huh.
I can't say enough that it doesn't have any personal deep meaning to me.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have been less surprised when you said you were a Taurus.
Really?
So
what about
stupid.
It? But what about
I know.
It? Are you about to read me?
Listen, let's we're going to get right into this.
Okay.
We're gonna like just some snapshot stuff that I think if you're around it and steeped in it. Oh, and
uh-huh.
I also have said before, I'm fascinated by the idea that it's one of those languages or qualifiers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where everyone likes to put things in categories because
uh-huh.
we're that kind of animal.
Yeah.
That if you're told early enough that you match the characteristics of something because someone believed it when you were a kid,
you
then you start behaving.
Yep, you start participating
right?
in it.
It creates that.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, I know I'm this, so I'm going to make
this
decision because I'm going to anyway,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So
Same
I think that's
Myers-Briggs.
Also very, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you start like, and by the way, that's psychology. I slept through it, but that's cool. But like the idea, that's the whole idea of like telling a child, like that's why kids who are abused hate themselves. And that's why, because you
believe the narrative that you're told.
Or our prison system is fucked. Because if you keep telling someone they're a criminal,
they feel like a criminal.
Yeah, how hard do we all want to prove people wrong? Very rarely. Most of the time we accept what the feedback from other people tells us we are.
I find that so
like,
true.
Oh, okay, I'm a bad kid. So I guess I'll be a bad kid.
Yes.
Like that's what everyone expects me to do.
So
fuck
true.
You know?
So true.
Okay, so when you say Taurus, what I think is, and the only reason I wasn't surprised is because of what you told me about your Myers-Briggs thing.
Wait, really?
Yeah, because I was like, oh, okay, so she's thinking things through. She's not necessarily going to open herself emotionally. Uh-huh. She, if she, and maybe that comes off as like guarded or strong-willed in some way. And so that didn't surprise me. But if you had said, I keep using Pisces, I don't know why, because that's one of, because it's one of those that described as being, it's one of those where like it is the most cliche of like if you're a Pisces, you're a dreamer, you're a poet,
a little emotional,
sensitive, yeah. You're very emotional. Uh-huh. You might be a little spacey,
a little bit
you know
fluid.
What I mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I'll use that as an example because there are a ton of signs where I don't really know like what their qualities
example.
Are.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're a Taurus or you're an Aries, you're the ram or the bull, and you have this sort of, maybe you have more of a masculine energy from a yin yang perspective. I don't know what I'm saying.
Whereas, I love this. Like, I'm feeling like
if I were a Cancer,
uh-huh.
I would also, again, because we're humans, be like putting things in categories, I would think back to, for example, a boyfriend, two boyfriends that I had in the past, long term, that were Cancers, and they were very supportive. They were kind of like nesters. They were sort of like caregivers.
Uh-huh.
They were very internal. They weren't, they weren't extroverts.
That's so
much more internal. And so that is why, like, I sort of was able to go there. But then there, again, like I said, if you said you were Gemini, I would be like, I don't really know much
you're
about
like,
that.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
All I know about Gemini is two-facedness.
Right.
That's the only thing I know, but that's not even helpful.
Yeah.
Like, there has
and
to be
I
a
think
good
there's
a,
like, the duality of that can also just be that you can't, that you can be, you know, you could, for example, I'm so sorry if everyone is just hating this astrology shit, but for example, like if someone's like about like in terms of making it work with every single different sign, like for the Aquarian, you know, again, this idea is like, you're very, very community forward. Uh-huh. You are very like, you're very empathetic. You mm-hmm. feel for people a lot, mm-hmm. but the flip side of that is it's kind of all or nothing. It's like, I'm either all in a group or I'm a lone wolf. Lone wolf is a word that gets used a lot. I really relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
How could that apply if I were a Gemini? It's one or the other. It's like, oh, you
one
could say the Gemini.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you could say maybe that. I'm sure Heidi would just be like, fuck you, Janet. But
no,
you
true.
You could say that, you know, maybe you find that there.
Or even Taurus. You could say that you're bullheaded about what you want. And if it's being a part of a group, that's great.
Right,
or you
true.
Could say, you know what I mean? All
no,
of
you
could
all, you could make
there's
it all
some
work.
Sort of, you know, applicableness to all of that.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing. I mean, my boyfriend is a Pisces. And so,
see?
Yeah, but
listen, he can't open a food processor. You tell me
no.
he's a Taurus. Well, but you're a Taurus and you can't open a food processor.
But I can't. But then I get frustrated
it all breaks,
and I call
it all breaks
else.
Down.
Yes.
It all breaks down. It's all broken down.
But you know, it's so funny because like even in my head, and we probably do the same thing, like you just said, I'm not surprised that you're a Taurus.
Yeah.
I still do that. Like when Will will do something to me, Will's my boyfriend, or he'll like say something, I'll be like, Pisces.
Yeah.
Even if I don't, I've
there's
never
no meaning,
in my
yeah.
life
I know,
have I ever
I
even
know.
Entertained the idea.
It's just a fun way of, because like it's that whole
it's
thing.
It's compartmentalizing.
We like,
it's fun.
We like.
It's a category.
We want to understand our universe, and there's nothing wrong with that except that the next, like those steps, it's that slippery slope is like, then you stereotype and then you fear and then you distrust and then then you're like, oh, well, all black people are this. Like,
yes,
it's a slippery slope.
Uh-huh.
It's tribalism.
It's tribalism.
That's absolutely true.
Uh-huh. I realize that more and more as I grow up. Have you realized that, like, just as I look around at our world, even now, I can't watch the news because I realize how much of like the problems that we're having are like cyclical, historical
God.
Problems that are just
hardcore.
Never fucking ending.
Hardcore.
Like, do you get that? Where
I
you're like,
majorly get it.
I'm such an optimist. I'll be the first to say that I'm like the biggest optimist in the world, but also I'm slowly becoming the biggest pessimist in the world.
And that's the thing is, I do this. I've noticed that I prefer to be optimistic, and so I've just been not I won't I listen ignore. To the, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, I it's ignore. Like, oh, I don't want to see this bliss. Bye. Because I want to believe better. And yep. so I'm just shutting myself off to this and I'm only choosing to see this other thing.
Yep.
Because I do feel like I could so, because I feel very sensitive. So yeah. it's like, I'd rather be sensitive in the optimism than sensitive to the point of cynicism where I'm like, yes. well, I'd rather be dead.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah,
like that's yeah. right around the edges yeah, all the always, time.
There's kind
like,
of a crispy oh, blackened yeah, exactly. edge sort of always like, in crouching.
Toast, I think.
Yeah. Am I smelling that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No.
So yep. it is. It's sort of mm-hmm. that. No, my whole thing that I've been, I'm sure I've said this recently because it is kind of the way that I'm choosing to sort of deal with, especially kind of the stuff where like, where there's a lot of like, I think it's good. And I've been calling it growing pains as mm-hmm. well, but a lot of the stuff that's been happening in terms of, you know, the response that we're having to, somehow Trump got elected and yeah, somehow he's still in office and how somehow all of these things don't matter. Like there's so much he's doing and that his administration is doing that. It's just like so surreal that we're just living in a you know, 1984 novel.
Yeah.
And, alternate universe, and it's just time. Like, you're yeah. just almost giddy with it. You're just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And it feels uncontrollable in this like hysterical way. And mm-hmm. so now we are like acting out in other ways that I think are going to be helpful in the long run, which yeah. is like we're excoriating terrible other men who yeah. have been abusing their power.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, somehow we can't get to this fucking guy.
So we're going to go down and the it's fucking this, list. But,
and yet it's mm-hmm. also a mob mentality. Mm-hmm. And yet it's also like social Witch media. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, let's just like quickly make everything black and white. And uh-huh. like, you know, we have to because we have to purge because this is not going anywhere.
That's and so true. I never really thought that it was cause and effect.
I feel like, it so strongly. I'm like, oh God. Like, I'm not saying, listen, a shit ton of things could go wrong if Hillary had been elected. So I'm not oh, yeah. in any way saying oh, like yeah. we'd be in some utopia. I'm sure it would be a fucking mess in some other way because yeah. it's messy. Everything's messy right yeah. now. But I don't know if this shit would have happened.
No.
Like, I don't know if the Weinstein shit, all of that. I don't know. I honestly don't know. It probably would have been something
though.
Else.
Yeah. Honestly, though, that gives me a little hope. I haven't really heard that perspective before. That yeah. like the fact, I mean, I've always heard that the pendulum swings so far until it swings back even harder the other way.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing that's kept me feeling okay through everything.
Yeah.
But I think like, that's really interesting that you're saying that, because I kind of define how I feel about social media as rage fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can only get mad about so many things. So I'm picking and choosing the things that I'm getting mad about.
Yeah.
And I feel guilty about that. I right. always, every day I go on social media and I see another fucking terrible thing that's happened. And I feel guilty about not caring. Like, I'm like, I can't care about this because I'm worried about the other 10 things that happened last
week.
I
agree. And I am also possibly the worst version of that, which is, I can't even go there on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So Twitter is for funny and jokes and uh-huh. this is the show I'm on and I'm this not is where gonna... this is
mm-hmm.
because if you listen to my podcast, you know how long-winded I am uh-huh. and how much I need to like chew on stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not uh-huh. a soundbite person. No. I'm not like, here's
my quip.
50 quick characters to show you how much I hate the president.
No.
And no. then also, like, I also hate negative energy and yeah. I don't like it. And maybe that's like, oh, like, you know, I'm weak and I'm
no.
and because of my vulnerability. But
no.
like, I don't have the time nor energy to deal with people sending me shitty tweets in response.
100%
agree with that. I just don't.
And I don't think that's
weakness. I got to try to make the world better in a different way.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think that's weakness at all, because I think the like protecting yourself is helping your audience. Like, I think
yeah.
keeping a level head and optimism about everything going on is helpful to everyone else that follows you. Because people will come to you to get... what was the thing? Have you seen the Jim Carrey documentary that just came out on Netflix?
Oh, no.
Oh, is it interesting? Jim and Andy, please watch it. It will make you hate method actors, but also...
Please tell me, is it Jim Carrey a method actor?
He was method for this.
Okay.
I mean, like,
okay.
depends on how you define method. He might have said, I'm not method, but Jim Carrey's kind of an airy-fairy, artsy-fartsy kind of guy anyway. Love him to death. I would never disrespect him and say that, like, he did a bad job on anything because he's amazing.
Yeah.
But I constantly go back and forth with my boyfriend about method acting. Like, it's my biggest thing. I'm like, I hate the idea. Like, I hate it. I hate it. Everything about it feels so dishonest when you're trying to be so honest. And it's my least favorite thing in the world.
And yet, people who espouse it are like, what are you talking about? It's the most honest.
It's the best.
It's the very most honest.
Yeah. And I'm like, but no, I could go into this like so hard, but I will not. But in this, he's talking about how the first time that he went on stage and he started doing comedy shows, he couldn't figure out what these people needed. Like in the audience, he was trying to figure out what people needed. And he was like, I don't know what it is. And
isn't that so analytical in and of itself? Again, speaking of like, because there are definitely comedians who don't think
that way. Who don't give a shit.
Who were just like, I have to say what I want. And if they laugh, great.
Yeah, that's
fine. But I'm not like dissecting it.
No, but I think Jim Carrey is an interesting guy. And I think one of the reasons why he's so successful is because he's a fucking weirdo. And he's an artist. Like he's not, I don't consider him an actor in a lot of ways. I consider him an artist.
I get that.
He looks at it in a different form. Whereas I look at acting as you go in, you do a job, you say a line, you do the thing, and someone pays you to do that. And through history, acting is a job. It's not necessarily an art. People bring art to it, which is amazing. And that's why people win Oscars. But base roots, it is a service that you're providing someone and then that's it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't see it that way at all. And it's really fun to watch the documentary because it kind of challenges that belief entirely. He's basically like getting into a character. And I personally find that getting into a character that's already dead as well is kind of disrespectful in my head. Uh-huh. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But it was really fascinating to watch anyway. And he was saying that he woke up in the middle of the night after doing a couple comedy sets and not really knowing what this audience wanted. And he realized all they want is contentment, like to not have to think about something. To not have to care about something. To like not have
Every political comedian in the world is like, what are you talking about? Comedy is the tool for the masses to process these things. In a manageable way.
Mm-hmm. But he was saying that everything that brings people out to do anything for entertainment is distraction. Even if you're talking about political topics, ultimately what you're doing is distracting from the core problem that's happening.
Like, God, I don't know if I agree with that at all.
I mean, this is just what he's saying.
No, yeah, totally.
I'm not saying like, I don't know if I
agree, but I also don't know if I totally agree with you that it's just a joke. Like, I'm realizing that I have part of my personality has been that I have had such a sheepishness about acting in general that like I've just chosen not to think about it at all. Like,
why?
Not to think about it as like,
in what
is
way?
It an art? Is it a job? Is it probably for like these reasons, because I don't know. I've struggled with what my emotional relationship to it is past the age of like 18.
Yeah.
I've just not really known how I felt about it.
Yeah. Well, that's
and
kind
so
of the point,
it's really
though.
Cool to hear, like, it is actually really cool to hear about different points of view about kind of how acting is seen. Because for me, for a long time, I think it was like a thing that I felt like guilty about doing because it felt like it wasn't important enough to like help people or you know what I mean?
Which is always how I feel about it. I mean, like, I'm kind of just now getting into doing some stuff that's like a little, not even bigger, but just like longer days on set, working longer hours, doing that sort of thing. And I would say for the most part, the and obviously my viewpoint is tainted because this is the experience that I have. The jobs that I've taken are jobs and they're great jobs. Like, I love them and I love the scripts that I'm working with. And I think they're very creative and interesting. Like, a lot of it is comedy. And in a lot of ways, comedy is kind of, it can be methodical. If you're working for a certain person that likes something a certain way. Right. And for instance, like, our script writer is amazing, but she likes something a certain way.
Yeah.
And so when you go in and do something, as much as you want to improv or do your own
she
thing
has in
or
her
be
mind
an artist,
the words and how important they are.
Yeah. And which is, but on top of that, I also feel like that person is an artist. Like, that writer is someone who put their heart and soul into something. And I'm not going to trample all over that by trying to be my own artist.
Right.
You know, I do it in a way that's, I'm trying to be honest to the script. I'm not trying to take something from my ego and put it on a page and, you know, try to make a stamp for myself until I'm given the opportunity to, or I want to take it and it feels appropriate.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, but then I wrestle with that because I'm like, you know, if someone told me that I need to be, you know, a 1920s woman with a beautiful feather boa and run around and do a thing. Like, if you think I'm not going to be using that accent for the next 6 months to prep for it, you're wrong.
Right.
I will.
So
I
is
will.
That, and is that method or is that just practicing?
See, and that's where I go back and forth. Like, have you read any of David Mamet's stuff?
I mean, I've read a little enough to be frustrated by it to the point where I walk away real fast.
Yes.
I just can't.
Yes.
I can't do it at all.
Yep.
I don't agree with his assessment of what
acting.
An actor is. I get it. But like, that's, but it's funny because that's a really good point, because that makes me realize I feel like we should, you and I maybe just have our own podcast.
Where yeah, I'm
we
sorry, don't we're even just dissecting guests. Acting.
I looked
right
at the
now.
Time and I was like, holy shit, I haven't even started to think about getting into MASH. this is good. It's a good thing. But, okay, good. But yeah, that's a good, again, that's a sort of good, like, well, how do you know how you feel about something? Well, sometimes you know when you hear someone else explain something and you're mm-hmm. like, well, I know I don't feel that way.
Yes.
I kind of feel that way. I do agree with that part of it. And that's definitely how I feel. Like, if I thought I felt that much shame about being an actor, when mm-hmm. I read his idea of what an actor serves, I'm mm-hmm. like, you're wrong. That's
I
not
don't
fair.
Believe it.
You're not God. Mm-hmm. They're not your little tin soldiers that you move around and push into a place and then uh-huh. make, and then you make their lip flaps move. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I definitely don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. I clearly have more respect for an actor than I feel you do. And maybe I'm sure he's like, no, I have all the respect in the world for the right actor who can do this and that.
Yeah.
But that's not, I definitely don't agree with that.
Yeah. I'm going through the book right now. What's it called? I'm going through his book, the one that everyone thinks is the most controversial acting book of all time.
Yeah.
True and False. Yeah. I think that's what it's called. I'm reading it right now because I had a really bad audition 2 weeks ago. And two of my actor friends that are both successful and wonderful were like, okay, read this book because it'll just make you feel better about the fact that casting agents are casting agents and people are people. And like, it'll just make you feel better about your place in the world. And I was like, okay, maybe it'll help me. Because I am, as you now know, just talking to me, Taurus. I'm very pragmatic.
What does it even mean?
You know, but I am one of those people that I have to think about something quite a bit before I totally understand it. And I think that's also why I sometimes see acting as more of a job, because it is easier to compartmentalize to me than to say, like, you need to go out and be an artist right now.
Being an artist is terrifying too. I mean, terrifying. Like, that's part of the reason I think I shunned it for so long, was like, I need my job to, like, I need to know that I'm good or bad at doing a job that mm-hmm. has to do with this product that's away from me. It's uh-huh. over here. I did a bad job on that sales report uh-huh. or whatever. Rather than, like, you're criticizing my human,
yes.
everything about me, my core,
yes.
my passion, my heart, my soul, everything is on the table. And that's terrifying to me.
Do you think that's come from growing up in academia?
Possibly,
like, knowing that you're going to get a good score for something.
Oh yeah,
knowing
for sure.
That you're getting, like,
and that be and I took and I do take that, like, I did take that very seriously as a young person. I definitely was like, you know, I
I'm
wanted
good
the praise,
if I get an A,
or
I'm
wanted,
bad if I get a C. Like, there's a clear distinction. I think that's something that I actively fight, and that's also why it's hard to say acting is artistry, because I'm always trying to fight the idea that you're good or bad in a scene.
Yeah.
Like, even when I see myself now, I'm like, oh God, I'm so shit. Like, I look at it and I'm like, it's shit. And then my boyfriend's like, no, it's great. It's great. Yeah. Like, one of my least favorite self-tapes I've ever done, I had to do a Southern accent.
Self-tapes in general.
They're the worst.
Torture.
They're the worst. I'm doing one when I get home.
I stopped doing, I was like, I'm going to hate everything I do. So I would rather not
just
have
not
to,
do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would rather not have to look at anything. And then I go through phases where I'm like, I also feel all of those things, but I also just don't care. And so if it checks a box, like, yes, I did it, I sent it.
Done.
But then I'll just do it once. It doesn't matter if it was good. It's like, I did it.
I did it.
Bye. I said the words.
Yep. Yeah. I feel the same way, where it's almost like I'm being I don't want to say I'm punishing my agents, but I'm always like, here it is. Hope you like it. Like, sorry you signed up for this.
Yeah.
That's terrible. But
totally.
No, please don't. Natalie, don't kill me. Either way, it's kind of one of those things where, like, I had to do this Southern accent, and like, obviously I am Southern. I should be able to do a Southern accent. And it's one of my least favorite self-tapes I've ever done. And I said this to my boyfriend last night. I was like, I can't believe I sent that in. And, like, this movie has already been cast. Didn't even get a callback for it. I was like, it was a fucking terrible self-tape. That's how I felt about it. And he was like, that's your best self-tape.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that's so subjective.
Don't tell me that. And he's like, no, it genuinely was your best self-tape.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't see it that way.
Yeah.
I can't. And I feel like that's the problem. I'm going to get on a set where someone's like, be an artist. And I'm going to hate every second of it. And I'm going to come off of it. And someone's going to be like, it was so great. And I'm going to be like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think any of it was good.
I get that.
I don't know. Do you feel that way when you make something? Because I feel like I have to criticize the shit out of whatever I make.
It's really hard for me to watch. So I think I've just started to, I mean, this is such a cliche, but I do feel like the longer I've now been doing this for like a dozen years, give or take, maybe less, but maybe less. I mean, you know, where I've been doing it all the time, like, this is all I do for about 10 to 12 years. And I am getting to the point now where I'm like, I've just done it long enough that I don't always care as much in a good way, where like I can watch something now. It's still, I still have a hard time. Like, you know, my boyfriend is, does love, cherishes and loves what I do and thinks I'm great at it, which, you know, great. That's how it should be in a relationship. Yeah. And so he'll get excited and he'll be like, let's watch, you want to watch, you know, see, we have all these episodes of You're the Worst. We haven't watched them yet. Yeah. Why haven't we watched them yet? And I'm like, because that's not relaxing at all. I'm not just going to chill out and watch myself do a show, even though I think it's a brilliant show and everyone else is great on it. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to just be tense the entire time. And that's even if I think it's going well.
Yeah.
So it's just not relaxing at all.
And you're waiting to hear that other person laugh at something.
Yeah.
Whatever. Did it land?
For sure. It's not. Yeah. So that's not a relaxing experience. But I will say that I do feel more confident and solid about, like, feeling like I'm okay at it, where I think I felt, I did still feel this sort of sense of like, what am I doing here? Really?
Am I really, like you get the call sheet and you're like, oh, my name is on it.
Yeah. A little bit. Oh, wow. A little bit. And I think that was just self-protection. I think it was self-preservation. It was like, I want to feel always like this is just luck, because I don't
want.
Then
you can't be bad at it. Then you have an excuse for not, if it doesn't pan out the way that you want it to, then you're like, well, I wasn't supposed to be doing it in the first place.
I didn't try that hard. Yeah. The self-tape, right? It's like, well, I didn't try that hard.
So that's why I didn't get it.
It wasn't my very best, where my soul is crushed because my best work isn't good enough kind of thing.
Have you read, what was that book that came out? It was a self-help book that was, it's really popular.
I guarantee
right
I haven't
now.
Read it because I've read maybe zero self-help.
Yeah. Well, I don't really read them either, but then I'm not even saying
I would totally get something out of it, but
no, because sometimes they're just like, they just stroke your ego, which is kind of like what all self-help books are to a certain extent. But there's one, I can't remember the name of it is off the top of my head right now. Let's just pretend like I never even mentioned it. But there's a self-help book that is talking all about how you can't put in place parameters, like reasons why you've messed up. Do your very, very best and never give yourself an excuse to fall back on.
I get that.
And I'm like, that's so tough for me, because even auditions is the best example to give. Like, I will give 10 million reasons why I didn't get it, but I won't give you the one reason why I should have gotten it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I really know what you mean.
Yeah.
I really
do. It's just so easy. And I think also in comedy, like, you're so used to self-deprecation. Like, it's so easy to turn to that really quickly. And it's so much harder to be like, no, I'm good sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm great a lot of times. And
I think, and then you have, all, I mean, there's like, you know, we have this sort of like soup of different things floating around that also contribute to that. Not the least of which is, you know, we're lucky because, you know, you're younger than me. I'm younger than many people in the business who are working. But you know, as women, it's, I don't know. I feel like from my father, who, you know, was sort of my primary caregiver, I do feel that he sort of was like a kind of the perfect combination of you're amazing and also like, keep your feet on the ground, kid. Like, you're
work harder.
You're very special. But yeah, that's, but you know what I mean? Like, he didn't make me feel like I'm better than everyone. I'm so special. But he did make me feel like I was great in
like
a really healthy way.
Amazing.
But societally, do I feel like I definitely feel like I was swept into the idea of like, girls need to smile more and girls need to apologize more and girls need to take care of other people's feelings more. And it's not cool to be a girl who's like, I'm very good at this.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling really uncomfortable with my dad, who's very confident, also like lives a very humble life. He was a fucking high school English teacher his entire career.
Hell yeah.
It's not like he was like, I'm made for more than this. But he is like real confident about how good of a teacher he is. And I remember being embarrassed of his self-confidence. And because I was like, is this arrogance? Because my dad would be like, I'm a really good teacher.
Yeah.
I'm real comfortable with how good I am.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be doing this for this amount of time if I didn't think I was damn good.
Yeah.
And I remember being so like, Dad, don't say that. Say you're a bad teacher. That's what nice people do.
What a good role model, though.
But like, honestly, I didn't. But why couldn't I? I wish I could have taken that on more.
I know.
From a younger age, but I really feel like even then I was like, dad, say, just be really humble. Be, yeah. Don't embarrass me like this. Yeah. Be really humble. Just say like, I don't know if I'm that great, but people seem to think I'm okay. Like yeah. that's the right way to be.
That's a very no. similar thing. Southern to Midwestern thing. Then, yeah. Because like same thing. It was very, you know, if you were good at something, you kind of play it down until someone else brings it up for you.
Right.
And, but then you move to a city like Los Angeles and no one brings it up for you. Like you have
you're
to,
on your own.
You have to be your person. Yeah. I think yeah. that's, I mean, like, I wish my dad is kind of not the opposite, but he's very like quiet and introverted. And he always told me when I was younger, he wished that he had my confidence in high school that I did, which I had zero confidence in high school. So I don't know where he got that. Like, I don't know where he got that.
Yeah.
But he was always very adamant about the fact that he wished that he had been more extroverted when he was younger.
Yeah. Or, where did he get that, do you think? Were you perform? Was it just as simple as, oh, you're putting yourself out there in this way, therefore I assume you must have confidence that yeah. you don't necessarily feel you have?
Exactly. I think that's what it was, because I started doing YouTube.
The YouTube stuff, yeah.
So young. And like,
but also when you're doing the YouTube stuff, you're not in front of a, I mean, not necessarily all the time, right?
No, you're
it
can
not in
be front
a of private thing. It's
never,
very safe in that way. It's yeah. like, I'm sending it out into the world.
I have control over yeah. it. It's not like you're streaming something.
And even seeing the numbers and comments, it's not a person, flesh and no. blood, that's mm-mm. like,
it's quantified.
You, yeah, which is also the downside, because then people are really mean to each other sometimes and yeah. it doesn't feel real, right?
Yeah.
It feels
yeah.
like, oh, this is all just electronics.
Yeah, it's keyboards.
It's all just ones and zeros.
It's fine.
I'm saying fuck you, but it's just a one and a zero.
Yeah, it's fine. It's yeah. not a big deal. But yeah. But no, I think, yeah, I think he probably got that from the fact that I would put myself online. But like you're saying, it's very isolating. It's not something that I never felt like I had an audience. It wasn't like I felt like I was talking to people. It was that I had an urge to talk and I had no one to talk to.
Yeah.
So it's like a different, I think he misconstrued my need for extroversion as like being confident.
Yeah.
Which I never was.
I totally get that. Yeah.
Like, oh man, was I a people pleaser. To
yeah.
the point of like not even helping myself. I think that's one thing that I had to learn growing up a lot, was like, you gotta stop worrying so much about how other people
Hell
feel about something.
Yes.
Because ultimately, once again, I'll say this again, but it's your ego that wants to be liked so badly by other people. It's like it's a tribal thing. You just yeah. want so badly to fit into
yeah.
this little...
Approve of me, like me.
Yeah,
that
like
makes me,
me
feel safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, so then I can have confidence.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way I'm going to have confidence, is if you tell me that I'm worthy of confidence.
Yeah.
Like, and that's
in which
worst.
Case, it's like other people having confidence for you, right?
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so everyone else will hold me up. I can't do it myself.
Exactly.
And then if they all go away,
yeah, then
who
what
are
I
you?
To
what
do?
Am I?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Which is why, you know, I was always like, Dad, you are full of shit.
Yeah.
You have no idea how low my confidence is.
Yeah. The way we come off to other people is truly fascinating. And I think that's something that we hear a lot too when we reconnect with people, like especially women who have been on the podcast who've talked about like when they reconnect with someone on Facebook or whatever, mm-hmm. and you sort of have yourself projected back to yourself from high school, and people are like, oh my God, I always wished I was more like you. You seemed so blank, blank, blank. And
you're
like, they're like, what?
I blank, blank, blank.
I was blank, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I totally feel you. What were your things? Have you talked to a lot of people from your high school again?
I would say I have had almost none of that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I've...
stepped into that pool of people.
Yeah, I don't know that I've reconnected with anyone who would have like assessed me in that way. And also like, well, the only thing I will say is I've mentioned it before, is that I felt like I just had such a huge period of time in my life when I was not into this kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But because I did a bunch of school plays when I was in high school,
uh-huh.
if I've been disconnected from someone for 15 years, they'll be like, I always knew you were going to end up doing this.
Really?
And I'm like, no, but I had all this time where I was not in that place at
yeah,
all. I'm like, don't discount this whole side of me that felt really important and very real at the time. Mm-hmm. So it's almost the opposite. It's like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I guess I came back to whatever it was that seemed organic about me when
Isn't
I was in high school, but like
though?
I didn't feel that for so long.
Isn't that funny though? Did you never yeah. think, even when you were doing plays and stuff in high school, that you ever wanted to do any kind of acting thing?
I did think that then, but that okay. was the last time I thought it, until I was doing Ooh. It in my late 20s.
Do
so I had like 10 years of being like, this will never happen. I'm not this
yeah.
person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do it. It's not, that's a part of like who I was as a child. Those were childish things.
Yeah.
I put away my childish desire to be an actor.
Right.
You
but
know?
Then do you think that like inherently you knew you wanted to do that for such a long time? Like,
I think people, I think that's, I mean, the sort of ultimate breakdown of it is that people are like, you brought yourself back on this path. Like you did it, even if you weren't realizing that you were doing it.
Yeah.
You're responsible for ending up here.
I don't like using manifestation as like a thing. But then once again, I'm watching this Jim Carrey documentary and he keeps saying
I'm really looking forward to watching. I'm watching it tonight.
Absolutely should. Like just.
Also, we haven't really heard from him in a long time. Yeah. So there's this... desire to be like, what's happening? Yeah. Where's Jim Carrey? What's going on?
Well, you know how I said he's an artist? He's literally an artist. He paints. He has a huge studio and he paints. He makes like beautiful, amazing paintings.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I can clearly divide like actors who I feel like do it as a job and people who do it as an art. And like he is 100% someone that does it as an art. Yeah. I think the reason why we haven't seen him do like something in a while is because he hasn't found a role that he feels like fits that really well.
I mean, listen, that also feels like such a luxury. Like, could he always say that? You know what I mean?
I don't think so.
Because I don't know. I mean, I guess I will say that that does feel like when I see people who are willing to move to New York and live in a closet and eat ramen for 10 years because they don't know how to do anything else because they're artists.
Yeah.
I fully respect that. And I know I'm not that person. Yeah. I was so practical and so the opposite. Yep. I was like, I want to have a nice apartment.
Uh-huh.
What can I do?
Yep.
Tell me what to do.
How do I just have a decent meal at least once a day?
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I mean,
my survival skills, I guess. I'm too much of like a, I need to be, and I don't, it's not, I definitely am not like, I have to have X amount of money so I can drive a beautiful car or whatever. It's definitely not that, but it definitely is like, I have enough anxiety and depression that like my surroundings have to feel okay.
Yeah.
Because I can't.
Or I feel like
I'm crumbling.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's the expectation of society that you can't help. And also like, obviously, Jim Carrey is allowed to go off and be an artist and not work.
Yeah, he has all the money in the world.
Because he has a billion dollars or whatever. Like, he's fine.
Yeah.
And, like, that's part of it is, like, you have the luxury of choice, which not a lot of people have.
Exactly.
If you have the luxury of choice, choose for yourself. But if you don't, like, go with what you got. You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree.
But what were we talking about before that? Were we talking about Jim Carrey being an artist? I kind of lost track on where we were.
Me too. Pray.
We were saying, like, you manifested your future as an actor because even without realizing it you were sort of drawn to the stage.
You can't always necessarily see it like as A to B to C to D, but it's some people take the long way around.
Miasma that you travel through.
Use of miasma,
right? I don't get to use it enough.
I want you to use it at least once more before the end of this podcast. I got to get into this MASH game.
Oh, yeah,
We'll be here for the rest of the day together, which wouldn't necessarily
be the worst
thing.
Can stand for miasma if you want.
It's just going to turn into you either live in miasma.
Which is, I'm not giving myself a good place to live then.
We'll do miasma, it will be, and then it will be aura.
Ooh.
So you're just in a beautiful floating colors.
Oh, I like that.
S can be,
let me think. Now I don't know.
Soup?
Sure.
We got miasma, we got aura, we got soup.
Haze.
Which Shaq is not necessarily. Oh, yeah, and then
a haze. There we go. So either
this
we're going
to. Very exciting.
Either
I feel Jim Carrey would approve of this.
Yeah. I know. Or we're going very existential. Who knows?
Okay, this is exciting. All right. First category for you will be let's do three. I'm going to get this vacation home out of the way because that's where miasma, aura, soup, and haze are going to come in as well. Three vacation homes that these are based on unreal places. So it could be like the Moon of Endor or, you know, Middle Earth or Hogwarts, any of those type places.
You just named all the ones I want.
Mean, listen, I'll put them right down. I have no issue with it whatsoever.
Let me think.
So three. And it doesn't. Yeah, it could be books. It could be video game worlds. Uh-huh. It could be any kind of world. And it could even be our world, but it would be like under the sea or on the moon or something like that. Just an impractical situation.
Okay. Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, nice.
First and foremost, because I just want to hang out with all those beautiful creatures.
Got it.
And then I'll say Atlantis, because I've always wanted to live underwater.
Great.
Like, but with people singing and stuff. Like, people who speak like a fish language.
Got it.
You know, I want like Ariel.
You're a fishist.
I'm a fishist, okay. Yes. Right. Which is similar to a fascist, but just like a little bit.
I would say it's pretty different.
Yeah.
You're safe. Different.
And then let's do, I want to live in Paris, but as a ratatouille rat.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. So like a Paris rat.
Great.
I'm counting myself as also shape-shifting. I hope that's cool.
I'm very comfortable.
Okay.
I'm very comfortable with it.
Sweet.
Okay. Next category is three let's do three skills that you wake up with tomorrow that you've downloaded, sort of Matrix style. But wow. I want them to sort of be I know this is very, I've never been this specific before, but like, let's have it be some way, technological. Whoa. So it's not that you wake up and you can speak all the languages, unless it's somehow that you can have done that via technology. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay.
I don't know why. I'm doing this to you.
No. I love it. Okay. One, I want to be able to like enter myself into any computing system.
Right.
So like I can.
Tron's my favorite movie, so I'm 100% on board.
Yes. So I want to be able to communicate with these computers and be able to get inside them. Two, I want to be able to unlock any passcode.
Great.
Which kind of goes hand in hand with that.
Great.
And then three, I would like to be able to travel through electricity.
Okay.
Like be able to travel through cables and shit.
Great.
Sort of like I'm Data.
Oh my God, you really elevated my entire stupid idea. I'm very pleased.
No, I'm glad I could try to facilitate.
Now, third, listen, I'm going to go totally the opposite way and just go straight love and romance.
Okay.
All due respect to your wonderful boyfriend.
Yes.
Three alternate universe boys, like girls, doesn't matter, whoever, like sexy times versus alternate universe marriage, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it can be, celebrities, but it could also just be like a character someone's played or a cartoon.
Yes.
No limits. Three.
Okay. First, I'm going to go with Cate Blanchett.
Done.
Yes. Because obvious.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry if it's all women, but
I'm
find
very comfortable with that.
I love powerful women.
Oh God, she's so great.
Have you seen her in Thor Ragnarok yet? That's what I'm saying. I want her. Wait, can it be Thor Ragnarok?
Yeah.
Cate Blanchett?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because there's.
Listen,
the
as far as I'm,
walked,
you could pick all three Cate Blanchett characters.
Oh, literally. I could just go through. I would be like, what's the one where she's in with Rooney Mara?
I was so happy with that. Oh, yeah. It's the woman's name.
I know it is a name. I want to say Laura. It's not Laura.
It's not, but you're
right. Definitely it's not. It's just a name, though.
Carol!
Ah, I knew it was something simple. So we'll do Cate Blanchett from Carol.
Yep.
And then let me think about a third good Cate Blanchett.
I have, let's see. Let me help you out. First of all, have you seen Bandits?
No.
Oh my God, you got to see it. It's so great. It's her, Bruce Willis.
Yes.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, wonderful.
It's a love triangle. She is this like, basically she's like a neurotic, she's very neurotic in it.
Yes.
Very funny. They rob her. They take her as a hostage.
Uh-huh.
She's like, fuck this. I was so tired of my life anyway. No, they don't rob her. They like take her car. They jump in and like carjack her
while she's
and
in
she's
the car.
Driving with them and she's fucking nuts. And they're like, slow down. Because she's like semi-suicidal. She's very depressed and neurotic in her life, and then she ends up I'm just telling you the whole plot, but it is still worth seeing. They end up teaming up. She becomes an accomplice with them. Mm-hmm. Then they like rob a place and split off, and she goes off with one of them, and then they have a plan to reunite so they're when it's like safe and the law can't find them. And then they rob another place, and then she goes off with the other guy. It's great. It's really funny.
Well then wait, what era is this? When did this come out? Like
early 90s? Early 2000s, probably.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
early 2000s,
I think.
That sounds like solid Cate Blanchett
ago.
Time.
It's pretty great
because I haven't chosen like a very young Cate Blanchett.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll do that. Let's do a Bandits one. I trust you.
And then
you.
And then your homework is to watch it and then tell me if you agree.
Yeah. My boyfriend's going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Like, and mine's going to be like, what? Why are you making me take this test? Number one, immediately. Okay. Next category is three foods, drinks, substances, snacks, mm-hmm. I guess drugs if you want. But this is sort of alternate universe. They're not bad for you as they might be in this world for one reason or another, be it an allergy or, you know, too many calories.
Or heroin.
Heroin.
Yeah, okay.
Or the heroin category.
Yeah, okay.
That you can have in perpetuity at the snap of your finger. So it can also be like a rare thing that you can't get to, like, a baguette from Paris, you know what I mean? Snap the fingers, you have as much as you want.
Ooh, okay. I want the purest form of oxygen that I can be inhaling at all times.
That's a great one. Uh-huh. Holy smokes.
Well,
so
so I didn't realize this, but like way back in the day, way,
pre like coal burning.
Yes, like prehistoric times. oxygen levels were better, which is why people, like, there were such big bugs and things, because you could handle actually more stuff.
Interesting.
And things lived longer. Like, having pure oxygen makes you live. So I'm going to be an elf, basically.
That's great. Pure oxygen. I love it.
Elf.
That's a great goal. That's a great goal.
Right? Into it.
Yeah.
And then, okay, second one. I mean, that's really tough. Probably my grandmother's divinity.
Okay. What's like, divinity?
It's basically just egg whites, sugar, and almonds or pecans. Nice. But you whip it in a way, and then they kind of form like a southern meringue. It's
okay.
Delicious. But every time I eat it, it just brings back like Christmas memories. Oh, and yeah. I feel like that wouldn't be a bad thing to experience. Great. And then the third thing would probably be I can have it all the time and it won't hurt me.
Yep.
I mean, I've never done heroin before. Uh-huh. And I've never anticipated
people
doing
it. People seem to love it.
I know. Well, I've heard there's great things about it. I think I think I would be interested in at least if I can do it without any kind of
ramifications,
harm.
Zero.
Yeah.
And let's find out what it's all about.
Exactly. And I want like an aerated version of it so I don't have to use a needle. You know what I mean?
No.
So a gaseous heroin would
great.
Be great.
Great.
Those are my three.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I love everything that's happening here. Okay, next category is let's do three sort of mentor / you know, friends. Mm-hmm. Again, can be someone from fiction. Mm-hmm. That you can just, you know, pick up a phone, the bat phone, and they're just there for you, and they're like, ooh, always happy to hear from you, and uh-huh, they can give you advice or just like be a friend, whatever.
I love it. Is this actual friends in my life or just characters?
This is anybody. This is pie in the sky. So it can be somebody who's dead. It can be somebody who's not real from a Sense and Sensibility type novel, like anything like that. That just is like, who would be awesome? Like, who would you love to just be able to reach at any time?
Oh, that's so tough. Okay. Well, okay. First up, probably now that you said Sense and Sensibility, I'm thinking about the mom from Pride and Prejudice. No. Ooh. Or Jane from Pride and Prejudice. She'd probably be the best person to just hang out with. So
all
Jane,
the shit she went through.
She's amazing, but she just seems so nice. So I'm going to go with Jane. And then probably next, just for shits and giggles, like Stanley Kubrick.
Great.
Just to see, because I feel like he would have like a ball.
He sees
the
world
wall
a different way.
Exactly. So if I'm ever like, oh, God, I just don't know what to eat for dinner, he's going to be like, eat your shoe. Like, he's going to do something wild. And I'll
sure
just,
he is. Sure
I'm,
he is.
I'm so ready for it. And then I'll go with my boyfriend, Will.
Great.
Because you know what? I just need some normality between those three.
Shout out to Will. I love it.
Yes.
I just love it. Okay. Three roles that you feel like, listen, this is a role that for whatever reason, maybe it's unlikely that you'll play, or it could be something that you might play.
Ooh.
But it could be, you know, from a play, it could be from a movie you've seen. But you get to embody this role and you're so confident that you're amazing at it.
Amazing.
No matter what it is, you would be able to watch it and be like, I'm so proud of myself.
Fucking
I did such an amazing job.
Yeah.
Three.
Okay.
Male, female, doesn't matter.
Oh,
creature,
okay,
doesn't matter.
I got this. I totally got this. Okay. Great. So everything that Charlize Theron has been. So, we'll start off with Atomic Blonde.
Great.
Because I want to kick the shit out of people and be confident in it.
Great.
And look amazing the entire time. Yeah. And also be strong. And I just fucking love her.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's a powerhouse.
Literally. Charlize Theron from, I want to say Kill Bill, but it's not. It's, what's this? A similar thing. It's Mad Max.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I was a Kill Bill, Mad Max. Max. I don't know why that kind of, there was like a two, there was a,
I get
I don't
it.
Know.
It's a two shorters.
Man names.
Yeah.
Man names.
Yeah.
And then we'll go with, I think I should probably say Cate Blanchett and Thor Ragnarok again.
Yeah, great.
Because
great.
I looked at her and I was like, I think all I want in this world is to like have an acting role where I don't have to cry and I can be like super strong and like almost sociopathic.
Yeah.
And no one judges me.
I certainly feel the same
way. That's what I want.
In fact, when you said, well, that's not, obviously Uma Thurman's character in Kill Bill is very vulnerable, but like.
That's a great
she's
example
She's got some
too.
True grit. Some true grit, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next category for you is three video games that in this reality you invented and designed and executed. Like,
whoa,
oh, you guys didn't know that I'm responsible for Myst?
That
or
was me.
I went way back. I just
Myst
went to the
great, though.
Earliest.
That was such a good example.
But yeah, I mean, it really like set the tone for so many things that came after it.
Yeah. Or, are you a big video gamer? Do you like
not
video
at all.
Gaming?
Not at all.
Well,
not even
doing,
a little bit.
You're speaking the language.
I know that if I started, I would never leave my home because I'm already such an introvert and I'm already such a homebody.
Right.
And I'm already such a stubborn, like, I'm not leaving until until this is finished.
Uh-huh.
I would never.
Not gonna lie.
It's like drugs. Mm-hmm. It's like drugs that I know I would like, oh, I can't do that. I would just
it's the heroin
kill myself
of
doing it.
Entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, that's how I feel about it too. Okay. Well, The Last of Us.
Oh, God. Yeah. See, I know.
You know. Wait, see, how do you know?
Well,
does your boyfriend play video games, video games?
No, but I'm sort of, I live in a world that is very adjacent to that. And I did do a voice on a video game. And I know a lot of voiceover actors. And I hosted not this last year, but maybe the year before, they had me host the video game awards at South by Southwest.
That's fucking sick.
With Markiplier.
I'm so jealous of you.
He's really great. But yeah, like really nice shouldn't, they shouldn't have asked me to do it because I don't play video games. But everything that all the research I did to like find out what games were up for things and stuff, I was like,
was
oh, these
Last
are beautiful.
Would have been up for it, wouldn't it? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's really interesting. Wait, what was
And
your...
also Brandon has played it. I don't know why I'm saying. He definitely has played it. He was like, oh, it's heartbreaking. Like it'll break your
heart. Yeah. Did you watch the beginning sequence of it?
Yeah. It's it really is like, oh my God, so you can go into movies now. Like you can go inside of movies and be in them and be part of them.
Yeah. And that's the kind of video gaming I can get with, by the way. If you have to play anything, play Last of Us, because I think you would really enjoy it, just like from an emotional perspective. But anyways, what character did you do in a video game?
Oh, they did a video game off of The Legend of Korra, which is a voice that I did for the show. So I did that voice.
Wait, what voice were you in Legend of Korra?
Korra.
What the fuck? Oh my God, I never knew that. So nice to meet you, Korra. Oh my God.
There's a little that she's standing
fuck
over there punching.
Up. Why did I not even, I didn't totally I didn't connect those dots
it's no
at
big
all.
Deal.
Dude, congrats, first of all. Sorry, we're busting into this like halfway through, like almost at the end of this, but oh my, my friend Aaron's going to die when he finds out that I chatted with Korra.
Well, tell
for so
Aaron
long.
I said hi.
I will.
Yeah.
Now so I'm hearing that. It. Now I can't stop hearing it. I'm sorry. Well, okay. So I just watched Legend of Korra for the first time because I loved Last Airbender so much.
So good.
You probably
so
know good. The fans are fucking nuts
the
for
best.
These shows.
They're the best.
Yeah. They're insane.
Yeah.
But I just recently just finished Legend of Korra like a month ago.
Oh, right on.
Like I just didn't even. Wow. That's amazing. Very cool.
Well, I got lucky.
Yeah.
See, there you go. I'll 100%. Just immediately put it all off to luck. But
but that's amazing. And you've got a beautiful voice. So I understand why people would want to hear your beautiful and melodious voice.
Oh, boy. The Last of Us. What's number two?
Oh, yes.
Sheepish.
Okay. Sorry. I'll stop.
So sheepish.
I'll stop. Let's see here. Second one, we'll go with Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Different game.
Yep.
Very
yep.
fun.
Yep.
Would love to be the person that made that. Great. And then third, let's go with Heavy Rain.
Okay, that I've not heard of, I don't think.
Heavy Rain. Okay, well, it's a very interesting one because it's a noir. It's a video game that's a noir. Sort
All right.
Of.
I like
it's,
that.
Well, it's sort of like a murder mystery. Like it's about a serial killer.
I could get into that.
You would.
I love
it.
Murder. I mean, I don't love murder, but I love true crime.
We all love. It's what is that called? It's like murder porn. Have you ever watched? Do you watch South Park at all?
No, but that's totally. They nail so many different things. Yep. You're like, yep, you got it.
Yep,
mm-hmm,
yep.
You've clarified 100%.
Yep, they have a whole thing about murder porn, and it's wonderful.
I completely. Again, I think it's just trying to put order to chaos.
Yep.
And especially for women, an emotional order to chaos, where it's like, if I can
disturbing.
Solve this, then I won't be murdered. I don't know what it is.
Oh, no,
right?
100%. Some, that's why we're all so fascinated with serial killers, you know? Have you watched Mindhunters on Netflix?
Yeah. See? Definitely got right into that.
Watched it so disturbed.
They did such a great job. Oh, yes. Sorry. For a second, I was thinking of Manhunt, but I have also watched Mindhunters. Anything that's like that, I will immediately watch.
Yes.
For sure. I really liked it. A lot of people are kind of critical of it, but...
Really?
Yeah,
I thought
it was
amazing.
I'm trying to remember what I read that people were kind of... I think they said that it was too mainstream for the director because he's so, like... People love him because he's so artsy.
Yes.
But they were like, oh, he's just going into, like, the mainstream procedural. And I was like, no, I still feel like it was
artsy.
Had its own tone.
It was still artsy. I mean, I just, like, I didn't realize that the whole thing was basically green screened. Like, even the sets were, like, all green screen.
That doesn't sound fun to me at all.
No, it sounds awful as an actor. Like, that sounds awful. Because all I want is to be in that 70s world.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's so cool about it, you know? But apparently all
I didn't
like
know
layers
that.
And layers of green screen. And
I'm
going
to have to watch it again.
You should. Because even all, like, the beautiful, he does, like, contrast so well.
Yeah.
Like,
well, he wants it. It's very interesting because I knew that he, in past movies, like, they'll show, like, online you can see, like, this is what the actual sky looked like that mm-hmm. day. And mm-hmm. this is what he did. And it's like suddenly moody and thundery and yep. like lightning. And I was like, oh, you can do that. Yep. So it makes sense that he'd be like, fuck it. I'm just going to do that with everything.
Yeah. Just kidding. I'm just going to change it all up. But anyways. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Mindhunter's amazing.
Okay.
But,
Heavy Rain. Great.
Yes. Should definitely play, or at least like watch someone play okay. it. I've watched a lot of people play stuff online. I'm one of those people. So
That feels like something that is, again, like because I'm older than you, I just didn't. And I'm sure there are people my age who do, but it's yeah. just something that is not wasn't part of like the lexicon of what was available
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
To it the point now where I feel late. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing. And that was what finding that out about Markiplier and stuff and being like, oh, okay. Got it. Like that's yeah. that makes
you
sense.
You do that thing.
But it makes sense that like if I'm walking through a room and someone's playing a video game, I'll totally stop and stand and just like an watch hour goes by second. And you're like, oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So
yeah.
I get it. Well, I definitely get it.
I feel like I grew up watching people play video games because of my brother. And yeah. so then from there, it just totally turned into that.
It but completely makes sense.
Yeah. I think I just kind of got like grandfathered into that.
Yeah. and also, idea. Like you said, right place, right time. Like it was, yeah. you know. Okay. Cool. That's my job to do the final category. Final category is for you going to be, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like I usually do some version of this where I feel like I've just circled the wagon so many times that I don't even know if this is fun anymore, but I usually do throw in a movie that you can jump into and just be and
in
be
atmosphere.
With those characters. Yeah. You're not acting out the plot of the movie. You're not a character in the movie. You're just there hanging in that world. You want to do that one?
Yeah. Okay. That's always
so three
fun.
Of those.
That's really
great.
Fun. I feel like I need to go fantastical or mm-hmm. or it Agreed. Doesn't. Labyrinth.
Great.
One.
Great.
I feel like anyone who doesn't say that, at least for one of the answers, yeah. needs to reevaluate uh-huh. that a little bit. Yeah.
Speaking of like the difference between CG and non-CG, there you have this thing that's like, it may not be perfect,
but
they're real. They're there. You can touch them. Yeah. They have little puppet flesh.
And they're adorable. That little worm
yeah, the
that
worm.
Sits at the front.
Oh,
he's
just
my favorite
the worm.
One. He's my favorite
so
one.
He's
oh,
so great.
He's so good.
Yeah.
But I just recently watched that. I'd only watched Labyrinth for the first time. Like, I'm not even going to lie. It's kind of embarrassing. Like 7 or 8 months ago.
I'm glad that it holds up to you having oh. seen it for the first time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, also all the stuff that...
Dog walk.
All the stuff with, you know, David Bowie, I was like, I feel yeah. like I need to at least see the one foray into acting.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, one of the forays into yeah. acting that he
You should watch The
in.
Hunger, too. That's a the weird Hunger. 80s movie.
Ooh. Does it have David Bowie in it?
Yeah, he plays a vampire.
Oh, I'll be
he
watching
and Catherine
that.
Deneuve play vampires who... There's not a whole lot of, like, here are my fangs. I feel like that's, like... I don't even know if they have fangs ever. It's this nice. Weird 80s, moody, strange, I mean, it is 80s, like dark 80s to the core.
Love, like purple everywhere.
Yeah, and just uh-huh. like, it's real weird. And then Susan Sarandon, young Susan Sarandon, is
Love.
Like, they're sort of both kind of seducing her. It's really good. You
Whoa.
Should see. Is it really good? I don't know, but it's definitely
but
worth
it's
seeing.
It's entertaining.
It's very entertaining,
so
and it's very... Like, if nothing else, it's like walking into a museum where you're like, I don't know if I even like any of this, but like, I sure should appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So okay. Hunger. I need to make sure yeah. to watch Hunger. Okay. Hunger.
You're going to watch that. You're going to watch Bandits.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I need a list from mm-hmm. you when we're done mm-hmm. with this.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So two more worlds. I want to say like a Star Wars-y world, but that feels like kind of a cop out. So.
Well, this is yours. So I don't want you to feel like you're, you know.
No. I don't. Well, you know what? To be honest. I wish it was like an animated series because I would say like a
yeah,
Last Airbender
great.
Or I would say a Legend of Korra.
Yeah,
like
let's
I would
do it.
Say I wanna hang out with, you know.
You wanna go into the Airbender?
Yeah. I think if I could, I would really love to do that. It's one
that's
of my
great.
Favorite fantasy worlds. It's so well written.
That's great.
You know?
That's perfect. That's not a movie and it doesn't matter. It's absolutely can be it can be TV, whatever you want.
Perfect.
Anything like that.
In that case, the yeah. last thing or the last place that I would like to be is in Comedy Bang Bang, just in the absurdist world. Like I don't
great,
want
great, great.
I want to operate like I'm just always in that world.
That's great.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Those are my three.
All right, perfect. All right. So you know MASH. I just have to do my little squiggle so we can figure out what you end up with. So just in a second, tell me when to stop.
Okay. Stop.
Okay. I'm going to pause this.
Okay.
I'm going to do some calculations. I'm going to come back with your 100% guaranteed MASH future.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to see where I am.
Guys, don't worry. To you, it will seem as if no time has passed.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay. Listen, I think you're going to be very pleased with these results.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
I feel real good about them.
Ooh.
Number one, Now, this just makes good sense. This just makes good common sense. We know that you're going to end up with a miasma, an aura, a soup, or a haze.
Ooh.
You live in the soup of Atlantis.
What? It all makes sense.
It's liquid, man. It absolutely makes sense.
I'm so glad I ended up there.
Having said that, I also want to say you really worked this out because you also ended up with the very purest oxygen.
Really?
To take in whenever you want. So like that, it's like, oh, whenever you're, if you ever are like, oh, I'm tired of breathing water as this living in the sea creature place, you have access to this oxygen. So these pieces are really fitting together in a very nice way.
Wow. I really like this.
I want you to rest assured that you can unlock any passcode.
Yes.
We needed to get online for any reason at all.
Amazing.
I want you to celebrate the fact that you have access to your friendship with Charlize and Mad Max. Wait, am I right? No, I'm wrong. Wait, which one was this?
Oh, that's the role I get to play.
Oh, yeah.
I get to be in Mad Max.
Oh, yeah, you're the badass. Yeah. You're the badass of Mad Max. Okay. All right, so here it is. You're the badass of Mad Max.
Uh-huh.
You get unlimited access to Will.
Love. Okay.
Yet you also are in a relationship of some kind with Ragnarok Kate Blanchett.
Yes!
So that's a real triumvirate of awesomeness there.
Wow, that's a good
congrats
place to be.
Thank you. I also want to say, great job creating The Last of Us.
Yeah.
People really love that video game.
You know, I thought maybe it went a little too dark, but I think people need it. Yep.
They need that distraction, Jim Carrey.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
And then when you want to escape into something that kind of has a different tone from all of this, I want you to know that you ended up being able to jump into Labyrinth.
Honestly,
this is great.
I'm really a fan of the mesh we created.
It's really great. It puts you walk out the spring in your step, knowing all you're headed for all this wonderfulness.
I know. Honestly, I feel like I'm in a really good place after this. Yeah. It's almost like therapy.
You did it.
You know, we created a dream world.
We absolutely did.
I think we did. You don't even know Will.
It's all you.
You know.
I know. Listen, I was very pleased that when I was sitting on the toilet peeing and doing this, if I knew it was Will.
I'm so glad.
Great stuff. Arden, that's the end of the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much.
The number one thing people are going to complain about is that I didn't really talk about your teenage years enough. So I'll have to have you back on.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Just dig right in. No, it's my fault. I'm a bad host. I got too passionate about all the other things we were talking about.
We did go down a very long acting hallway, but it's
really great. Also, can people just access Teenage You? Is it still living online in YouTube form?
Yes, definitely, actually.
Yes, you need to check that out.
Yeah.
I feel free to.
I think there are, I think you can look up some archives, blunder years, and you should be able to find something
amazing.
That, hopefully.
Tell people about season 2, anything else that you want to get out into the listenership.
100%. 100%. Season 2 of Mr. Student Body President, that's coming out November 30th.
November 30th, around the corner.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. And then Guidance season 2 is now on Hulu.
Nice.
Which is fun. Apparently I'm involved with a lot of season 2s.
Uh-huh. That's good. That's better than season 1
none.
And then none.
Yeah, there you go. It's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
And then obviously I have my own podcast, Crash on My Couch.
Crash on My Couch.
You are fully welcome to come visit and hang out anytime.
Delighted.
Anytime.
I owe you a trip across town.
No way.
I'm trying to say.
Well, you know what? It'll make you feel a little bit better because we actually record it in Hollywood. We don't record it in Venice. So.
I really just won.
I know.
I just won.
Uh-huh. We'll just meet halfway, you know?
Yeah.
That's what we'll do. We'll go halfway.
Okay.
I think that's about it.
Great.
I think those are all my things.
Those are all big and wonderful things.
Yeah.
I think you guys know how this podcast ends. It's me saying that I'm going to talk to you next time on the podcast.
Yes.
Arden, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. Bye, guys.
As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.